Welcome to Central Study Hour at Sex Central Church. We are excited to be singing with you guys, and we have also more friends here joining us in worship service for the King of Kings. This is a time where we are ready to be united and dive in the Word. But before doing that, let's do some song services. Number 600, Hold Fast Till I Come. We're going to be singing all three stanzas, Hold Fast Till I Come. If we can continue praising the Lord with more hymns that you guys probably have, and you can send our requests. You can easily go to our website and click for a hymn request, and we'd love to hear where you're writing us, where you're listening us from, and you know, sing a new hymn for him. Let's do our next hymn, 652, Love at Home. We're going to be also singing all three stanzas, and let's meditate. When there's love at home, time doubly, softly, sweetly glide when there's love at home. That's a beautiful hymn. Let's sing together all three stanzas.
Yeah.
heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for these beautiful hymns that sometimes, or mostly, they are the message for our hearts and our minds. Please, Lord, bless the speaker as we're going to share the word. May it be your words, not his. And bless everyone who is joining us here today and everyone who is going to be listening through across the world, that they can do when there's love at home, when you're the center, everything is beautiful. In Jesus we pray, amen.
Amen.
For our lesson is lesson number 7, practical prayer, and our speaker will be Pastor Bernardo. May you be have a blessed Sabbath morning.
All right, well, welcome to Central Study Hour from wherever you're watching. We're glad that you're with us and pray that you gain a rich blessing as we talk once again in Lesson 7 on prayer. Had a lesson last week on prayer, and the next lesson is on faith. So these are obviously crucial to our relationship with God, and that, of course, is the major focus of our study. We do have a CD-DVD offer, and that is C as in cat, 202-620. Or call us at 916-457-6511. Or CSH at saccentral.org. Well, again, we're glad that you're joining us for this lesson on prayer, Lesson 7. And this is the study to prepare for Sabbath, May 16th. It's called Practical Prayer. And thank you, Lexi, for already having that prayer. And that was part of the Weimar Orchestra. Did I get that right? Yes. That was here with us. So if you had there's a little extra in the background of that music. That is the folks from Weimar have come down to bless us here at Sacramento Central where this is recorded. All right, so we're going to look Sunday at Elijah, Monday at Hannah, and then Tuesday, Jesus, or the Lord's Prayer. And then Wednesday, we look at Daniel and his prayer in Daniel chapter 9. Thursday is questions on prayer. So that's a bit of an overview of where we are going. Memory verse says, trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. And oh, how true that is. And then the questions about your prayer life. By the way, if you are a teacher listening to this to prepare for teaching your Sabbath school class, obviously this is a great time to ask for prayer requests. If you don't already always do that in your Sabbath school class, and even maybe line up a couple testimonies about prayer in advance, makes it much more real to everyone. All right, what is your prayer life like? How often do you pray? How fervently? How expectantly? Do you pray daily or only in emergencies? Are your prayers always asking for something, or do you praise God in your prayers as well? And you know, that's what the psalmist said, right, in Psalm 16:11, that will show me the path of life, right? So when you're reading it, he will show you the path of life, not your pastor, not your elder, not your wife. He will show you the path of life, where in his presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. That should be enough to draw us to prayer right there. Even if we didn't get answer number one, just the time we spend with Christ our Savior and God our Father. Oh, it's so worth it. So worth it. Going on, it says, prayer is the constant connection between us as the branches, Jesus as the vine. If we would grow and flourish, we must continually draw sap and nourishment from the living vine, for separated from the vine, we have no strength. And isn't that true? That's part of what prayer is. We're saying, God, I can't accomplish today what you have for me. So it's adoration, but it's also understanding our weakness and his almighty strength. All right, let's go over to Sunday's lesson. And that is Elijah praying in crisis. So if you want to turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings 19, we shall read, as the lesson suggests, verses 1 through 18. So it's quite a long passage. But I heard Pastor Doug Batchelor say at a graduation recently, he said, you know, I have a theory. I have a theory that men are afraid of really strong, you know, women. And he was thinking about this story here of Elijah. I mean, think about it. All the prophets, no problem. Got them with the sword. But now, one lady says, I'm going to give you 24 hours, and if you're not as dead as all the rest of them, you know, then it'll be on me. And what does he do? Runs for the hills. Wow. Well, let's read about it. It is in 1 Kings 19, and I've got the New King James rendering here this morning. It says, and Ahab told Jezebel, there goes running to mama, all that Elijah had done and how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I do not take your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. I'll give you 24 hours. And when he saw that, or heard that, or saw the message, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under, and this says, a broom tree, if you have the New King James. By the way, broom grows all over the place here in Northern California. Folks from Weimar, that yellow flowering plant all around your campus is broom. This is a broom tree, so it must have been quite a large bush. It's actually, it's very flammable, the broom bush. It's actually 42% potash, so it's very high in potassium. And if you've ever seen a fertilizer plant catch fire, I mean, it like explodes. It's mainly because of the potassium. It's very good. It's actually one of the varieties. I think it's the Spanish broom, has actually been, the flowers have been used for smoking cessation. So just a few tips on the broom. I pick broom flowers, so I guess I'm a little partial to the broom. All right, it could be a juniper too. Other versions say juniper. Goes on, and he prayed that he might die and said, it is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's. Then as he lay and slept under the broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. Second time, the angel came to him and touched him and said, arise and eat, because your journey is too great for you. So he arose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food for 40 days and 40 nights, as far as Oreb, the mountain of God. So that was some pretty amazing food, wasn't it? And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? So he said, I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel, all of them have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. Then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, and Behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After that wind was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after that, a still, small voice. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him again saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said basically the same thing, didn't he? "I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, God of armies, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant and torn down your altars and killed your prophets with the sword, and I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Then the Lord said to him, "Go. Go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, anoint Hazael king over Syria. You shall anoint Jehu the son of Nimshi as king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel Mehola, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. It shall be that whatever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill, and whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." May God add his blessing to this reading of his word. But here we are on Sunday's lesson, and that was a long reading. Few questions here for the lesson, specifically noting Elijah's prayers and God's interaction with him. What is at the heart of Elijah's dejection here? Well, that's a question for your class. And for us, how is God's response different from what happened at Mount Carmel? And I would say, how is it the same? Because to me, he's providing in both ways. I love that quote in Prophets and Kings. It's in this chapter regarding this passage where it says, "Nothing is apparently more helpless, yet really more invincible than the soul that feels its nothingness and relies wholly on God." Amen? How true indeed. And I love how A.T. Jones put it when he said he's met people and they're almost ready to give up on themselves. And he said, I just wish they would entirely give up on themselves so they would entirely trust Christ. Very interesting here what's happening with Elijah. Down in the paragraph below, or on Sunday's lesson, although Elijah had experienced a great victory with God that day, he had in a moment of weariness allowed the fear of death to overcome his faith in God. What is so striking about his story is that although Elijah gave in to despondency and discouragement, God came to him in tenderness and care, providing food and water again. So much that it lasted 40 days and 40 nights. Sometimes in our lives, God answers in very direct, powerful, undeniable ways. This strengthens our faith, and we feel the closeness of God in our lives. Just give you an example of something similar that happened with a prayer request. We just, and this is, I guess, a shameless promotion for Messiah's Mansion, which was just here. And if you're watching across the world, you can probably have Messiah's Mansion come to you, especially if you're in North America. Clayton Liney Weber is the one that leads out. He's also with Oklahoma Academy. And this would have been, I saw Clayton recently, and we tried to figure out how many years ago, maybe 37 years ago. So, yeah, that kind of dates me a little bit, and him. But I had just become a Seventh-day Adventist. I was in San Diego, California, you guys have heard that story, a blind chiropractor named Nightingale who's related to Florence Nightingale. Anyway, it's an amazing story. It's a crazy story. But after that, I started attending Chula Vista Church. And Clayton's dad was the head elder, and Clayton was a member there. Clayton's give or take my age. And they said, Rob, you know, you're a new Adventist, you're on fire, you need to go to Heartland. Now, I don't know why they didn't send me to Weimar. It would have been a lot closer, but they said Heartland. So I said, okay, I'll drive over there. I decided I'd drive in one day from California to Virginia. Not wise. So I fell asleep at about 2 o'clock in the morning and almost, you know, drove off the road. The angels put me back on. The next morning at 8 o'clock in the morning, Clayton calls me and he says, Rob, did anything happen to you at about 2 o'clock last night? And at first, because I wasn't killed, I didn't remember immediately. But then I said, oh, yeah, absolutely. I drove off the road and, you know, barely caught it back. He said, God woke me up at 2 o'clock last night to pray for you. So sometimes that's how God answers, in those kind of ways. We look for God's answers in ways we expect him to respond, though, don't we? Not realizing that his thoughts and his ways are higher and wiser than our own. Then the question at the bottom, or the comment, God, our good and kind Father, knows exactly what you need. How can you be still enough to trust him and keep your eyes steadfast on him through it all? And so that is a question for the Sabbath school lesson. How can you be still enough? And we need to be still enough to allow God to answer our prayers. I know both my wife and I, we were at Andrews University. That's another long story, which I won't get into. I had a full ride at Union College all 4 years. I would have had paid, but somehow I felt like the Lord was calling me to Andrews. So that's where I ended up going. And my wife and I both, before we met, had come to the place where we had both felt, you know, Lord, if you're not going to give me any marriage partner at all, I'm willing to just accept that. And I think when we both came to that realization, then the Lord could answer our prayers and give us somebody. So that's exactly what happened. But prayers are answered in different ways. I love what happened to a group of people. Ellen White was one of them. Back in 1845, says this, in the spring of 1845, I made a visit to Topsom, Maine. On one occasion, quite a number of us were assembled in the house of Brother Stockbridge Howland. His elder daughter, Miss Frances Howland, a very dear friend of mine, was sick with rheumatic fever and under doctor's care. Her hands were so badly swollen, the joints could not be distinguished. As we sat together speaking of her case, Brother Howland was asked if he had faith that his daughter could be healed in answer to prayer. And listen to his answer. It's a little wobbly, wouldn't you say? He answered that he would try to believe that she might, and presently declared that he did believe it was possible. Now, there's a little bit of faith, isn't it? We all knelt in earnest prayer to God in her behalf. We claim the promise, ask and you shall receive. The blessing of God attended our prayers, and we had the assurance that God was willing to heal the afflicted one. One of the brethren present cried out, is there a sister here who has faith enough to go and take her by the hand and bid her to arise in the name of the Lord? Sister Frances was lying in the chamber above, and before we ceased speaking, Sister Curtis was on her way up the stairs. She entered the sick room with the Spirit of God upon her and, taking the invalid by the hand, said, Sister Frances, in the name of the Lord, arise and be whole. New life shot through her veins. Through the veins of the sick girl, a holy faith took possession of her, and obeying its impulse, she arose from her bed, stood upon her feet, and walked the room, praising God for her recovery. She was soon dressed and came down into the room where we were assembled, her countenance lighted up with unspeakable joy and gratitude. That's from LS, page 74. It goes on, by the way. The doctor comes in next, and he doesn't even talk with the family sitting there or really see them. He just goes right upstairs to see his patient. And he gets a surprise. Wait a minute, where is she? Of course, she'd already been healed. He came back down, and they're like, yeah, she's been healed. And so he had a big surprise. But that's not always the way it works, is it? We pray for healing, and we trust God to do the best thing, right? For his glory and for our best good, whatever that is. These kind of things do happen, but they don't always happen. So we need to be still and allow God to answer the prayers in his way. All right, Monday's lesson, got to move along when prayers seem unanswered. And that is in 1 Samuel 1. And they suggest that we read 1 Samuel 1. So if you want to turn back there with me. And this is Hannah's prayer. Sometimes prayers I wouldn't say they never get answered, right? The answer is maybe no, or maybe the answer is maybe. But they may not get answered in the way that we thought they would be answered, but they always get answered. And I think even of the couple, Zechariah and Elizabeth, right? The parents of John the Baptist, they prayed and prayed and prayed for a child. We don't know how long, but they were well stricken in years when they finally did have a child. And they were righteous in the sight of God. That's what the Bible tells us. So it wasn't anything on their part that kept their prayers from being answered. So sometimes God's timing is not ours. Most often, actually. I heard Randy Roberts once say, God is never late, but he's rarely early. So maybe something to that. All right, 1 Samuel chapter 1, and I'm going to start with verse 8 and onward. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better than 10 sons? By the way, this is the way not to practice EQ or even IQ. It's kind of like not relationally the right thing to say. So Hannah arose after they finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. She was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on this affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razors shall come upon his head. And it happened, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli watched her mouth. Hannah was speaking in her heart, only her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, how long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him. And she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. So she believed that the answer was soon to come. And that is one of the prerequisites of answered prayer, is it not? Believing, fully believing. Obviously, always according to God's will. Tell you another story. I'm in Battle Creek, pastoring there, and Sister Virginia is from Kenya, and she'd come over, but her children had not gotten their visas yet. They were still back home. And we would always pray for her children. And on one occasion, we were praying together. There's a group of us. And I thought, sure, she said, my kids got their visas. My kids got their visas. So I, in full belief that that's what I just heard, I said, praise the Lord, the kids got their visas. Thank you so much, Jesus, that the kids are coming. Then after the prayer was done, she said, Pastor, I didn't say the kids got their visas. I said, we're praying for the kids' visas. Guess what happened that week? You guessed it. The kids got their visas. And so I believed, I mean, I completely believed it. I thought she said it. So, I mean, there was no doubt in my heart that that was what it was because I thought she said it. And so we are to believe even through the trial. And that is what's going on with Hannah here because her prayer hasn't fully been answered yet, but she's already believing that it will be, as if she is in the belly of a great fish, as Jonah also believed before the thing actually came to pass. Well, going on in the lesson under Monday, Hannah is an example of a devoted woman who prayed for something very specific. That's important too, isn't it? How do you know your prayers are answered if they're all so generic and open-ended? I mean, you know they're being answered, but it's great to have specific prayers where you can note specific answers. I think God loves to hear those. He loves all of the prayers. At first, it seemed that God did not answer her prayers, but she persisted. Another key point in prayer. And God did something in his perfect time according to his will. Sometimes the waiting deepens our walk with God as we trust and as we learn to trust him more. Down at the bottom, then, it says also a key factor that determines our response to what seems unanswered prayers is our picture of God. And that's very important, too. What is your view of the character of God? And how is it shaped by prayer, or how does it shape your prayer? If we see God as distant and disinterested, our relationship with him weakens. In such times, search the Bible for evidence of his love and care and pray that your distorted picture of him will become clear. That's the end of Monday's lesson. And I would add to that, have a prayer journal. Write down the prayers that God has answered in the past. And then when you're in a prayer time and you're like, oh, you know, this is a really tough time, you can look back and say, well, he answered here, he answered here, he answered here. Pretty sure he's going to answer again. All right, on to Tuesday's lesson. And you can turn to Matthew chapter 6. Jesus teaches us how to pray. Matthew chapter 6. Okay. And so after saying, do not pray like the hypocrites do, who stand on the street corners and, you know, looking for the praise of men, and they actually get their reward. It's the praise of men, and they get it. But that's all they receive, unfortunately. If you look at verse 6 and onward, there's a little, very short, but very powerful verse here, verse 6, that tells us about prayer, about personal prayer, because that's what he's talking about here. It says, go into your room. So let's just slow down on this. The first word is what? Go, right? So it takes effort. You're to go. And then you're to go into your room. Now, you might say, well, I only live in a one-bedroom, one-room house. What room am I supposed to go to? That's okay. That one room is just fine. You can go in there and just have your time of prayer. And then it says, and when you have shut the door. So you're to go into a room, and you're to shut the door, which is to shut out distractions. And I'm going to illustrate this in just a minute here. And pray to your Father in that secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. When you pray, do not use vain repetitions. In other words, may it be meaningful and heartfelt. For the heathen do that, and they think they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, pray. And then we have the Lord's Prayer. And there are three things that start with the Lord, and then three things more about us in this prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And oh, how many Sabbath school lessons could be written just on that verse. Hallowed be your name. Your character, Lord, be set aside. Hallowed be your name. Your name is great. Your name is glorious. Your name is your character. Your character is a character of love. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil or from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. All right, so here is my illustration of this. They left me a chair so I can do this. All right. So you go into your room, wherever your place is. I mean, it may be your couch if you have just a one room. Wherever it is, you go, right? Go and go into that, have that place. That's the main point about it, right? Have a place for prayer. And so you go in and you're in that place, right? And then it says, shut the door. Now, here's the thing about shut the door. That means shut out the distractions. And I would say, don't take your cell phone. Because it's very distracting. So you might though want to take, by the way, paper is the new technology, just so you know, but I still use an old day timer. I would say take a little pad or something, and here's why. If you're like me, when you start praying, what happens? Well, sometimes you start thinking about, oh man, I gotta be here at this time. I need to do this, and I need to run this, and you know, I need to call this person. So the way I do it, I say, okay, I have my book. I start writing that stuff down. Because if I don't, it's just going to keep haunting me and distracting me. So write it down. Write it down on a separate thing. So that's my way of shutting the door, is by writing it down and having it separate. And then God hears you in that time. Now, as you're praying, if you're going to pray for any length of time, ideally pray with Scripture. Amen? Or pray through Scripture. And a lot of people don't know this. And there's various acronyms, right? You can pray through the sanctuary. Have you ever heard of how they do that? They kind of walk through and, you know, you pray at this station and so forth. That's a cool way. Or, you know, there are different acronyms for prayer. Adoration, and then, you know, confession, and then supplication, and then thanksgiving at the end. All those are good. Any way you pray is good. So take whatever you can. But praying with the Scriptures is powerful, right? Just allowing the Scriptures to speak to you. Our Father, which art in heaven. You could pray for hours on that, right? Hallowed be your name, O Lord God. I'm so grateful that you are my God and your name is powerful. Your name is strong. Your name is a strong tower that I can run into. I'm so thankful for who you are and your name. And in your name, we pray these things. And then you can move on. Your kingdom come. Oh, Lord, I'm so looking forward for your kingdom to come. There's so much death and sorrow and sadness and tears on this earth. And it's all around me, Lord. It seems like it's pulling me in. And yet, Lord, I just can't wait for your kingdom to come for your sake. Because, Lord, you have waited too long to come. Your very heart has been pained this whole time because your bride has not made herself ready. All right, you get the idea. On and on. Pray through the scriptures. You'll find hours go by quickly when you pray through the scriptures. So anyway, that's my little illustration of that. And actually, here is a... Psalm 91, I'm reading through, and I'm on my knees just like that and just saying, you know, Lord, speak to me, or, you know, and, you know, praying it back to him. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Oh, thank you, Lord, that you hide me in your secret place. Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Oh, thank you, Lord, that I can abide under your shadow. I'm like that little birdie with the mommy bird taking it in. And so I wrote this little poem while I was doing that. But you don't have to write poetry, but it wouldn't be bad to have a book to write down your thoughts as you go through and as you're praying through scripture. It'll change your life, I guarantee it. So I wrote this, from the secret place he meets me. And I will dwell with him each day. It's where I hear his voice come sweetly. I long to hear what he will say. In his presence, I find refuge from the struggles of this life. I come to him, my mighty fortress, beyond the noise, beyond the strife. Blessed be Lord God Almighty. All in him I will confide. Under his wings, I trust completely. In his love, I will abide. I will set my love upon him. This is from the last several verses. I know that he'll deliver me. He'll find me leaning on his promise. A present help he'll always be. So may the Lord bless you in your studies and in your prayers. He may give you a poem, he may not, but you may want to write down what God is sharing with you. Oh, there's so much about this prayer. Our Father, now this is you're praying in secret, but you're still praying corporately, in a sense, right? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Oh, don't we long for that day? Give us this day our daily bread. We're unable to do it ourselves. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespassed against us, repenting, seeking forgiveness, remembering to pardon those who have hurt us as freely as God forgives us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, asking for protection and shelter from evil. And then Psalms 91. This is all under Tuesday's lesson. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And then the question, why not pray more and turn your face to God each morning to talk to the one who loves you more than anyone other? Indeed, the one who knows us best loves us most. That's amazing, but it's so true. What is stopping you from doing this as you know you should? Pray right now as Jesus has invited us to do. So that's the end of Tuesday's lesson. We go on to Wednesday's lesson. And this is Daniel's prayer in Daniel 9. So if you'd like to turn there. But I hope you understand a little bit more about this thing called prayer and just the great blessing that it brings us, the closeness of God that it brings to us, right? Again, if prayer number one was never answered and you just got close to God, how great would that be? How worth it would that be, right? And so that's what we get when we pray to God, that closeness, just God and us. Corporate prayer, it's great. We have a prayer line that meets at 6 a.m. Monday through Friday, and I gain rich blessings from that and feel closer to that whole group of people. But individual prayer, just you and God, is crucial. It's crucial. It's going to be the heart of your relationship with him. Nothing is accomplished, friends, without prayer. All right, Daniel chapter 9 is also a corporate prayer. And he prays, the note says on Wednesday, in the same way Jesus taught us to pray, we can follow this simple model when we come to God privately with our families or with our church remembering that prayer is speaking to God as to a friend. Too often our prayers are full of requests. When Jesus has taught us to pray for so much more, and that's that close, abiding relationship with him. Daniel's prayer in Daniel 9, 4 through 19, you can look at the different parts, but we are mainly just going to, let's go through it. It looks like we do have time here before our time expires. Verse 4 of Daniel 9, all the way through verse 19. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments. We have sinned. Now, we don't see Daniel having ever sinned, but he's praying corporately. He's putting himself in that group, kind of like we saw Moses do in the last lesson. Lord, if you're going to take them out, take me with them. We have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. Neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings and our princes, to our fathers, and to the people of all the land. O Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to us shame of face as it is this day. To the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, to all Israel, those near and those afar off, and all the countries to which you have driven them because of the unfaithfulness which they have committed against you. O Lord, to us belongs shame of face, to our kings, our princes, our fathers, because we have sinned against you. To the Lord our God belongs mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he has set before us by his servants, the prophets. Yes, all Israel has transgressed your law, departed so as not to obey your voice. Therefore, the curse and the oath written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against him. And he has confirmed his words, which he spoke against us and against our judges who judged us, by bringing upon us a great disaster. For under the heaven, the whole heaven, such has never been done as what has been done to Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster was come upon us, yet we have not made our prayers before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth. Therefore, the Lord has kept the disaster in mind and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works, which he does, though we have not obeyed his voice. And now the Lord our God has brought your people out of the land. And now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and made yourself a name, as it is written this day, we have sinned and we have done wickedly. Well, he's pretty clear with that, isn't it? And he's putting himself in this prayer of dust and ashes. Verse 16, O Lord, according to all your righteousness, I pray, let your anger and your fury be turned away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain, because for our sins and for our iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and your people were a reproach to all those around us. We haven't been a witness. Verse 17, now therefore, our God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications. And for the Lord's sake, cause your face to shine on your sanctuary, which is desolate. Oh, my God, incline your ear and hear and open your eyes and see the desolations and the city which is called by your name. And then this is key. For we do not present our supplications before you because of our righteous deeds. Amen. Righteousness is by faith. But because of your great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. Do not delay. For your own sake, my God, for your city and your people are called by your name. And so there are several aspects to this prayer. And a big one is confession, but you see this listed under Wednesday's lesson. And the first one here is praise. Praise is expressed adoration for who God is and what he is like. Read Psalm 100, the beautiful praise song to God. Consider God's many names and his magnificent character. Praise him for being your Redeemer, Savior, Comforter, Healer, Good Shepherd, Alpha and Omega, and Rock, just to mention a few. And I read somewhere in a text thread that I'm on, and somebody was saying, you know, I just, in my prayers, I can't get past praise. I just keep praising. I mean, I'm kind of stuck on praise. That's not a bad place to be. Not a bad place to be at all. Secondly, here we have confession and forgiveness. When we find ourselves talking and abiding in God, we can't help letting go of what might be holding us back and separating us from him. The closer we are to him, the more we see our unworthiness and wretchedness. This makes us beg him more to remove our sins and shape our characters in his likeness. And then requests. This is kind of the approach we use at the 6 a.m. prayer. Praise, confession, requests, and then thanksgiving at the end. Believing that God hears our prayers, and if he hears us, he shall give us the answers to our prayers according to his will. Amen? The things that we have desired of him. And so this was Daniel's prayer that we looked at. It was a corporate prayer, and the questions at the bottom say this: what things do you need to praise God for? To confess to him, to request from him, to thank him for. And then it says, do it right now, which we won't do it right now. But that is the key, that we draw closer to God in these different ways. And again, as I said, you can pray through the sanctuary. There's different models. But the key thing is to pray. And praying through the scripture is so powerful. I just recommend it so highly. All right, other questions about prayer. This is from Thursday. And we will look at these questions. Why pray when God already knows? Now, that's a good question, right? I mean, if you're asking for something, doesn't he already know it? Of course he does. But I think when you pray, it's not, you know, hey, line up with my prayers here. It's kind of lining us up with his will more, wouldn't you say? Why should we pray when God is all-knowing? Ellen G. White explains it like this: not that it is necessary in order to make known to God what we are, but in order to enable us to receive him. Prayer does not bring God down to us, but it brings us up to him. Have you ever thought about that when you're in a prayer group, that you're kind of like on this elevator and God is taking you all up to him? Probably my imagination or my way of dealing with God's true promise. But that's what he's doing. He's lifting us up to him in prayer. Second, why pray when all is well? Well, that's a good question. Well, if you're praising him, if all is well, you've got more to praise him for. But here's what the answer says here. Self-sufficiency and pride can be one of the greatest barriers to a strong prayer life. If we'd only realize how much we need God, we'd come to him much more. If perfect angels adore and worship him, why should we as sinful humans think that we are in less need? And then there's a couple scriptures that point to that truth. Now, another question. What is the role of faith in prayer? Our next lesson is about faith. And then this: beware of emptying your mind or listening to your own thoughts rather than searching the Bible. One more question before we close. What do you find most challenging from the points above? why pray, the role of faith, who shall I pray with, why pray when all is well. Again, remember that promise we talked about in the beginning. That will show you the path of life, not your pastor, not your wife, not your elder. I will show you the path of life, Psalm 16:11. So when you're reading it, it's you, right? I will show you the path of life. In his presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hand are pleasures evermore. God bless you.